Welcome to Macro Observer Daily, March 6th, 2026. I'm watching the fintech rails, and today we need to talk about three structural shifts happening simultaneously. Shifts that are fundamentally rewriting the rules for how financial services companies operate and get funded. Let me start with the most immediate development. Over the past week, the market has dramatically repriced Federal Reserve easing expectations. We've gone from pricing in more than 60 basis points of cuts by year-end to just 45 basis points. That's a 15 basis point contraction in rate cut expectations in 7 days. The catalyst? Persistent inflation that refuses to behave the way the models predicted, combined with geopolitical risks that are forcing a fundamental reassessment of what used to be a consensus Goldilocks scenario. Now, here's where it gets interesting from a fintech infrastructure perspective. The 2-year Treasury just experienced its largest 4-day surge since May, and market pricing now implies a neutral federal funds rate at 4%. We're currently at 3.5%. That means there's still 50 basis points of residual tightening pressure in the system. More importantly, for anyone building or funding financial technology, the 2-year Treasury neutral sits at 4.5%, and the 5-year is trading in the low fives, roughly 100 basis points above current levels. This isn't temporary volatility. This is the market telling us that the era of cheap capital arbitrage is structurally over. We're living in what some are calling the 4-5-6 market. Cash at 4%, bonds at 5%, stocks at 6%. That framework represents normalization that threatens every business model built on the assumption that funding would remain cheap indefinitely. But the rate story is just the setup. The second structural shift is even more profound, and it's playing out in real time at Morgan Stanley. The firm just announced it's eliminating 2,500 positions, 3% of total headcount. Now, workforce reductions at financial institutions aren't exactly novel. What makes this significant is the context. Morgan Stanley just reported record net income. The CEO's compensation increased 32% year over year during the same period these layoffs were announced. This isn't about belt tightening during tough times. This is about AI-driven operational efficiency fundamentally changing the unit economics of financial services. The cuts span investment banking, trading, wealth management, and asset management, the core revenue engines. What we're witnessing is technology substitution outpacing the productivity gains of the 1990s to 2000 internet era, which was historically one of the strongest productivity periods on record. Looking at the regulatory landscape, some platforms are already handling 90 to 95% of customer interactions with AI agents. One automotive marketplace I'm tracking processes 10,000 monthly transactions with 3,500 employees, achieving profitability while scaling 4 times from their restructuring baseline. That's the kind of operational leverage that wasn't possible 5 years ago. The broader fintech pattern here is clear. Early AI adopters are capturing massive margin expansion opportunities, but this creates systemic employment risk across the sector. Fed officials are openly expressing uncertainty about AI's labor market impact timeline, which creates policy lag risk. They're trying to navigate inflation dynamics while a structural labor market shift accelerates beneath them. Now, let me connect this to the funding environment. Markets were positioned with 90% confidence in a continued Goldilocks regime supporting high valuations through low discount rates. That confidence has evaporated. The equity risk premium has turned negative. We're looking at a 40 cap multiple with a 2.5% real earnings yield, while real yields on long bonds sit at 2.6%. That's an unfavorable risk-adjusted return profile that's forcing capital reallocation. Household financial asset allocation shows 72% equity concentration. That exceeds dot-com bubble levels. Here's the vulnerability. Consumer spending represents 70% of GDP, and over half of economic growth in the past year traces directly to stock market appreciation rather than income growth. Personal savings rates have compressed to 3.5%, less than half the pre-pandemic norm. Real organic disposal income growth is registering at 0 year over year, yet consumer spending is advancing 2.5% to 3%. That's a 250 basis point gap being financed through credit expansion. Which brings me to the credit quality signals that should concern anyone operating consumer-facing financial products. Lower-income households report inability to meet minimum debt payments at 15-year highs. Credit card delinquencies are at 15-year peaks. We're seeing proliferation of buy-now-pay-later arrangements that are frankly absurd. 40 installments on a pair of shoes. This isn't innovation in financial services. This is financial stress masking consumption patterns. The third structural shift is happening in commodity market infrastructure, and it has direct implications for settlement and operational risk in commodity-linked financial products. COMEX registered silver inventories have declined 30%. Lloyd's of London just canceled war coverage for shipping in conflict zones, forcing government intervention to backstop insurance markets. This affects trade finance pricing models and documentary credit risk assessments across the board. More fundamentally, we're seeing a shift in commodity price discovery mechanisms.
Shanghai Gold Exchange pricing is gaining primacy over traditional Western venues like COMEX and LBMA through sustained 10 to 12% premiums and declining Western open interest. The paper physical divergence in gold is widening. These are structural shifts in market infrastructure, with implications for how custody and settlement arrangements function. The U.S. government recently added silver to the critical metals list, signaling strategic recognition of supply vulnerabilities. There are new U.S.-Mexico critical minerals agreements suggesting regulatory streamlining for domestic mining development to reduce what have been 27-year average timelines. The mining sector is consolidating rapidly. One institutional fund I'm tracking has completed 92 portfolio company acquisitions since 2008 inception, including recent copper transactions at 30% plus premiums. Capital is reallocating toward hard assets and supply chain security. Now let me tie this back to the fintech thesis. We have three simultaneous pressures: structurally higher rates compressing valuations for growth-dependent business models, AI-driven workforce optimization that's accelerating faster than policy can adapt, and commodity market stress creating settlement risks. This compounds into an environment where execution risk runs high for platforms dependent on consumer credit quality and growth equity valuations simultaneously. But here's what's interesting. This isn't uniformly negative for fintech. The opportunities are shifting geography and category. Latin American markets are demonstrating massive embedded finance opportunities as informal economies transition to formal financial systems. Mexico's used car financing penetration sits at 5% versus 90% in the US. That's a 17 times expansion opportunity, with similar dynamics across multiple verticals. Platforms achieving AI-first operational models can serve previously unbanked customers profitably. That automotive marketplace I mentioned earlier is proof of concept. The integration of marketplace, financing, reconditioning, and logistics creates defensible competitive moats as informal peer-to-peer transactions formalized. Cross-border payment gaps are forcing companies to build proprietary rails, which creates opportunities for B2B payment infrastructure providers. Vehicle ownership penetration remains at 2 out of 10 people in Latin America versus 7 out of 10 in the US. That suggests sustained demand for asset-backed consumer financing tied to economic development trajectories. Financial inclusion impact is substantial, and the unit economics work when you've got AI handling the operational heavy lifting.
Meanwhile, stablecoin adoption in emerging markets, particularly Tether on Tron blockchain for retail transactions, represents what I'd call replacement rather than permission dynamics. These operate outside traditional regulatory oversight frameworks, creating parallel financial infrastructure in markets with unstable traditional banking. Let me pull this together. The regulatory complexity around inflation measurement has reached unprecedented levels. The divergence between core PCE projected at 3.1